clear message of the prophets of old was prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the path of our God. Isaiah the prophet, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, made that clear. John the Baptist, the last in the line of prophets of the Old Testament prior to the Christ, echoed the words of the prophet Isaiah, saying, make straight the way of the Lord. That's a message for people of all time. Prepare the way of the Lord in your hearts. One of the ways as people of the church, as people of faith, that we are prepared in the way of the Lord, one thing that helps us is the Advent wreath, a symbol that we all look upon every Advent. And it's important for us to realize what is happening here. There's a lot that's going on here without us just simply saying, wow, that's beautiful, and carrying on with our prayers. What's going on here? I would say this is a symbol here. The Advent wreath is a symbol for time and a symbol for eternity. If we were to prop the Advent wreath up a little bit, one of the things I like to look upon this wreath and see is a clock. And with each candle that is lit, it suggests that we are moving one step closer to the end of our earthly life. Tick, tick, tick. Every time we light a candle, a symbol for time right in front of us. The purple candles, traditionally, historically, a symbol for royalty. We are moving closer to the celebration of the birth of our King at Christmas. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we look forward to him coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Tick, tick, tick. It's a symbol for time. The rose color, right? The rose color. We're clear. Not pink, right? Every priest says that every time we wear these vestments. Rose color suggests that we are persevering. We are making progress through life. We're one step closer to the kingdom. For some of us, it would even suggest like maybe we are more than halfway through this earthly journey. And because we're persevering, because we're keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, we can rejoice. This is Gaudete Sunday, meaning rejoice. We are making progress on our earthly pilgrimage. We're one step closer, please God, to the kingdom. But this isn't simply a symbol for time. It's also a symbol for eternity. And this symbol becomes clear with the wreath. The evergreen wreath. The circle. Evergreen. A symbol for everlasting life. Everlasting love that our gracious God calls us into. Evergreen. A circle. There is no starting point. There is no stopping point. It goes on and on and on. The Lord calls us into loving communion with Him. Do we make the most of our earthly pilgrimage? Do we prepare our hearts for the Lord? This is Gaudete Sunday. We're called to rejoice. That second reading today from the First Thessalonians, St. Paul writes the Thessalonians, he says, rejoice always. There's part of me in reading that where I sarcastically want to come before the Lord and say, really, God? Have you seen 2020? Rejoice. Rejoice. Our hearts have known pain, suffering, sadness, despair, all of that. And yet the scriptures speak to us, rejoice always. How do we do that? Is that even possible? Lord, really? Rejoice always? And I think the formula for carrying out that command comes with actually the next two commands. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. How can we rejoice always? We struggle on our own, but we can rejoice always if we pray without ceasing. In other words, let's strive to keep our focus on Jesus at all times and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. made me think of a few things. Okay, for example, 2020. Let's start with 2020. If we just continue to listen to the news and we continue to listen to all the different conversations of the human beings alone, we do get stressed out. We get anxious. Are we praying? Are we giving thanks to God? In the midst of our stress, in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our despair, do we take a moment and say, Lord, I trust you. You shepherd your people through all of time. You shepherd us too. Are we praying? Do we pause in the midst of our day to give thanks to God in all circumstances, to recognize the good things that are happening amidst the turmoil? If we do those two things, in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the turmoil, we can still rejoice because God is good and he's providing for his people. 2020. Second thing I thought about was, let's take something like the death of a loved one. Father. The death of a loved one. As people of faith, though we mourn, and understandably so and appropriately so, the death of a loved one, in the midst of our grieving, we can still rejoice because we're people of faith. We pray through all things. If we pray in the midst of our grieving, in the midst of a loved one dying, passing on, we can recognize in Christ that he came to save us, that he shows us the way to the kingdom. And though we grieve and outwardly we show tears, inwardly in the midst of our grieving, we can still rejoice a little bit. Always. Because we have the hope of everlasting life and love and communion. And in the midst of our grieving, we can give thanks for the way the loved one impacted our lives. To recognize those different things. To pause and give thanks. In the midst of our grief, we recognize we've been blessed. And therefore, we can rejoice. The third thing I thought about in praying about this homily this weekend, I was thinking about my experience in Haiti. It feels like forever ago. I went down to Haiti last February, prior to my transfer here to Grand Rapids in Cohasset. I went down there. I was asked to go down there to be a part of a dedication of a church. The deacon from my former parish, that was his 75th trip down to Haiti. I had the blessing of accompanying him down there, and I went with a couple other priests from the Diocese of Duluth, and it was an eye-opener. When I got to Port-au-Prince, we got into a vehicle, and we made our way to the mission. It took about 3.5 hours to get up to the mission, and I tell people it was the strangest parade. This sounds funny, the way I'm placed putting it. It was the strangest parade I've ever been a part of. We got on this road, which wasn't the best condition, but apparently over the past number of years, they've made a good progress with their road system there, but it was still very bumpy, nothing like an American road. But for 3.5 hours, I kid you not, there were people lining up along the side of the road as we made our way up to the mission because of lack of work. And these people, they definitely were hungry. You were driving by all their homes, dilapidated sheds, as I was telling my other parishioners. And it was just like, wow. But then I was there for that dedication of the church. And when the church was being dedicated, these people came together in faith to pray, to give thanks to God. And as they prayed, you saw the joy, authentic joy that they had as people of faith. Though they lived in difficult circumstances, they could still rejoice. And did they rejoice? Did they ever? Keeping their eye on Jesus, giving thanks to Almighty God. They can rejoice. They do rejoice. We can too. On this Gaudete Sunday, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I call us to rejoice in the Lord. Gaudete, to rejoice. In order to rejoice, we must continue to pray. We must continue to give thanks. And we can do that because God is good. He comes to us. He wants to show us salvation. He wants to show us everlasting life and everlasting love.